Edge Radio.
This is Local Edge Radio, the show focusing on what matters to you here in Western North Carolina, from politics to entertainment. To get in on the show, call 252-4348.
That's 252-4348.
Now, Blake and Leslie.
Welcome to the second hour of Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk, and we're broadcasting live from the Harvest Farms Organic Studios. And this hour is sponsored by our good friends on Biltmore Avenue. It's Mamacitas and Mo Daddies. There's definitely a reason. Mamacitas continues to win the best burrito in Western North Carolina every year. That's because they have the best burrito in Western North Carolina. Burritos, quesadillas, the fish tacos. Only the freshest ingredients are used in their food. Great lunch menu and dinner menu. And right next door is Mo Daddy's, one of the best places to see live music in downtown Asheville. So it's Mamacitas and Mo Daddy's on Biltmore Avenue, right there beside the Orange Pill. Well, folks, it's that time again. It's Monday afternoon. It's 4 p.m. And our resident monk, Opus, from the Thirsty Monk, is here in the studio with us for another segment of The Voice of Beer. Welcome, Opus.
Oh, it's so happy to be back. So happy to be back.
Now, Opus, you had to make a couple of sacrifices to be here on time.
There is a beer trade show going on right now.
What is that? A beer trade show?
It is.
Who does that on a Monday?
It's a beer and wine trade show for the industry. This is our day off.
Yeah, like, this is the day to do it.
Yeah, we've had our weekends. Monday's our day for like cleaning up all the mess and relaxing. So it's a perfect day for the industry. And there was probably a good dozen or so breweries from the United States and the world.
Really?
And then all this wine, but I just kind of ignored the wine. I drank maybe a few drops, but there was, it's beer a-flowing over there. And I want you to know that I sacrificed and got here sober.
Well, thank you.
So I could drink some beer on the air, of course.
We appreciate you not coming intoxicated to Local Edge Radio.
My pleasure.
We have enough of those guys up there in D.C. We don't need more here on our local basis. So lots of exciting stuff going on with the Thirsty Monk right now. And Wednesday night, we've been looking forward to this, our first pint night with 880 The Revolution, Blake and Leslie from Local Edge Radio. All the fun begins about 5:30 on Wednesday night, right?
Well, as soon as we open, but it's gonna really pick up when you get there.
Oh yeah, it's just gonna explode when we walk in the door.
Absolutely.
Confetti, balloons, the whole deal. So, what time does the Thirsty Monk open?
We open at 4:00.
Are there people waiting at the door when you open?
There usually is. We have some regulars that they know exactly when we open. So 3:59 and 59 seconds, they stroll right in.
It's always good to see Jim in the afternoons, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, Opus, what's going on at the Thirsty Monk? Last week, you didn't have a voice, so you sent Mary Eliza in here from Duck Rabbit Brewery. Always enjoy having her on the show. And Jim was saying earlier, those beer reps have to travel a lot, and she's one of them. They're constantly on the road, on the move.
Oh, yeah, and that's who's in town today. We've got beer reps from Stone, Bell's Founders, Duck Rabbit, Smutty Nose. They're all in town for this trade show and for other things going on.
Did you say Smutty Nose?
Smutty Nose. They're
Smutty
a
Nose.
Little brewery out in New Hampshire, and their logo is a little seal.
Oh, that's an interesting name.
A very interesting name. Mm-hmm. Their logo is Make Mine a Smutty.
Huh,
or make mine a smutty one.
So did you taste anything today new and exciting?
I tasted some...
I mean, granted, you didn't taste that much, like you said, but did you have a drop of anything at the trade show?
Well, I tasted, then I spit out.
Okay. You're such a professional, Opus.
I had some of the Blackjack Porter from Left Hand, which I hadn't had before. It's a nice British porter, just real nice and mild. And I had the Leafman's Fruitesse. It's a tart, fruity beer from Belgium. that hasn't been available for a good 4 or 5 years. It just came back to the market.
Now, if you're interested in one of these beers, is the next step to get in touch with your rep and see if you can bring one of these beers in and have it at the Thirsty Monk?
Well, it's really funny because we've had them all.
Okay.
We've had them at the Thirsty Monk, and we rotate them out and back in. So, yeah, chances are we've had it, and we'll have it.
So it looks like you brought in some founders today.
I did. That is another person who is actually coming into town tomorrow. The very founder of Founders.
Will he be here Wednesday night?
He's probably taken off Tuesday. He's probably taken off Wednesday during the day.
But he would sit pint night if he stayed one extra day.
He is focusing on our downtown location, which is the more of the beer geek destination. We are taking over 12 of our tap lines with 12 Founders beers.
Well, give me a little history on Founders. I know we discussed them probably about 6-7 months ago, but share with our listeners about the brewery.
Well, they're over in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they are they're affectionately known, and also there's a little history behind it. They're the other Michigan brewery. They're very heavy into heavy metal. Like there's always heavy metal blasting throughout the warehouse. And they're punk rockers, really. They make some amazing, amazing beer, but they do it with a great rock and roll style.
Interesting.
Headbangers.
Yeah, the headbangers.
Headbangers,
yes,
beer.
Exactly.
That's what I've heard.
That's exactly what they are.
So they're obviously a young group of guys. I mean, I don't see too many senior citizens that are punk
well,
rockers.
Well, even Motley Crue. We're talking that kind of.
Oh, okay. The old hair band stage.
Well, okay. You know, Motley Crue, Metallica.
They had hair and makeup, though. Remember the beginning?
They did. They
lots
did.
Of hair and makeup.
It is.
Well, this is, to have them come to town, though, is this something that, are they going to be, when they're at the Thirsty Monk, people can come and interact with the owner, ask them questions, the brewing process, everything?
By all means, toast one with the founder and drink up with him, because we're going to have 12 of the beers on, including the world-famous KBS.
Well, can we taste one of the founder's beers before
yeah.
we get to
oh,
it?
Yeah. I brought two, and they're... They're at slightly warmer than cellar temperature. I apologize. I was running around all day today. But
have these been in your car
yeah.
since Friday?
Since I've actually had these for a couple of weeks now, because it's very hard to get a hold of these beers. The first one we're cracking is the Founders Double Trouble, which is a high percentage double IPA.
Is that the one that's 9%?
They're both. Well, yeah, 9%, but the KBS obviously is.
That's up there, Opus. 10, how do they make 10, it taste 10, good 10%. At 9%?
They're masters.
Okay.
They know exactly how to balance their beer perfectly so that you're not sacrificing flavor for high alcohol.
This is kind of hot. I wish you could boil an egg in this stuff.
It's slightly warmer than
sour. Now it's time for our hot beer segment
and
here
warmer.
On Local Edge Radio.
But this is perfect for KBS, because KBS is a beer you want to warm up, because the more flavors come out. Maybe not so perfect for the Double Trouble. But
I might have to go pour some of this in Matt Matan's iced tea. He'll never know. It's one of those big kidney buster iced teas. He'll never know.
Nah.
I'll mix it in.
So,
all right, so here we go.
It's a light, very light golden color, which usually your double IPAs are like darker. Like they look like a double beer. They taste like a double beer.
So it tastes.
There's a lot of hops going on here.
Oh, it's hoppy. Oh, is it so hoppy it could do my taxes? It is an active hoppy beer. I like it, though.
Yeah. It is. Nice taste.
What do you think, Jeff?
And
I like the aftertaste.
Yeah, there's all that bitterness that just really just kind of slaps you in the face, but then there's that following sweetness that just kind of, you know, makes up for it. It's like, I don't know, see the commercials for Lemonheads or Sour Patch Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like first they're sweet, then they're sour, or first they're sour, then they're sweet. It's kind of like
great
that.
Cold.
So, what do you think these guys are doing right? I mean, they obviously have the process down pat to have a 9% beer that tastes this smooth. I mean, it really does. You don't have an overwhelming taste of any one thing, but it's a nice blend of everything.
It's really, they've just, he's been brewing for the longest time. He's the founder is also one of the original founders of Bell's Brewery.
Now, is he a punk rocker? Will he come to town tomorrow with the mohawk?
You know, I'm not sure if he's still sporting a mohawk.
Okay. Just want to know if I spotted him downtown.
I'm expecting long hair, but
I might have to come by tomorrow night. Just to meet him. Talk to him.
You definitely should. You and all of Asheville really show up for it.
Because out of all the beers you brought by, I continue to talk about the founders after you left that day.
I think there's something magical about Michigan.
Maybe that could be their new tagline. There's something magical about Michigan.
Magical.
Come back to Michigan.
Because there's lots of snow. It's cold up there, and I think because it's so cold. And hard to deal with the environment that people are just stuck inside brewing.
That's all they got left.
They don't want to
brew beer.
Brewing and probably making children.
To perfect brewing beer. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll give Jim some oxygen. And then when we come back, we will taste the second beer from Founders. And this is a great beer, folks. And if you're not doing anything tomorrow night or Wednesday night, you can join Opus and the founder of Founders Beer at the Thirsty Monk downtown. And then Wednesday night, you can join Blake and Leslie from Local Edge Radio at the Thirsty Monk South in Gerber Village for Pint Night. Two great nights of beer. More to come on Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie.
And you're listening to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie right here on 880 AM, The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.
Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. You know, sometimes Opus brings in his own bumpers to play on Local Edge Radio, and that was one of his latest, an old song from Nelly. From back in the day. Thank you, Opus, for bringing that in.
Yeah, anytime.
We really appreciate that. So we're going to have a lot of fun Wednesday night, too. I know you have picked out a very special beer since we're on one side of the issues.
Yeah. It was tough coming up with a beer, but we finally settled on Left Hand.
Left Hand for the lefties.
Exactly.
I love it. So tell us about Left Hand.
Left Hand is a brewery out in Boulder, Colorado. And they're actually very, very closely associated with the Native American lands there. Left Hand, it's not only is it, you know, kind of lefty, but it's also named after an Indian chief out there who his name translated to basically left-handed.
Hmm. Okay. Now, have you always been carrying this beer at the Thirsty Monk, or is this a new addition?
We often carry them. Trying to remember there's a porter, like I said, that they have. I believe they also do the Polestar Pilsner. For this Wednesday, we've got the 400-pound monkey.
The 400-pound monkey this Wednesday, the Thirsty Monk South. For 880 The Revolution Pint Night.
Yeah, and that is a British style IPA.
Hello.
So it's generally more mild than your American IPA. It's just not in your face, kind of like the Double Trouble was just there.
So last week, Opus, someone asked me a question that listens to the show and missed you last week, but you didn't have a voice. They wanted to know, as far as bringing in a keg of beer, bringing in the Thirsty Monk, let's just say it didn't sell. Nobody liked it. I mean, I know that's rare, but I'm asking
sure.
you. More of a question of how long is a beer good in a keg, I guess, is what I'm trying to say after it's tapped.
Well, it depends how well you care for your kegs, how short your lines are. But basically, when you tap a keg, it's sealed, and there's no oxygen, there's no obviously no light that's getting in there. So it's still freshly carbonated. So, I mean, they could last anywhere to a couple months.
Okay.
We try not to let them, you know, last a couple months. But you know,
the longer they sit in the keg, does the taste change at all?
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big spoiler of beer is oxygen. And even though it's a sealed system and there's no oxygen getting in there, you've still tapped it, like you still opened it, and you're forcing new carbon dioxide into there. So it does change it a bit, yeah.
Yeah, the two times I tried to brew beer in college that turned to vinegar oh, both times. We had some great vinegar to put on the salads.
You ever try making wine?
No, I haven't.
Terrible.
Well, you gotta take your socks off, Jim.
Jim, have you tried to make wine?
I did.
Recently or back in the 60s, 70s?
70s, years ago.
Don't Marble. Use your feet. Don't
I didn't want to age you. 60s, 80s, I mean, Jim, the 80s.
It was poison. It was awful.
All right, Opus, what about the second Founders beer? We just tasted a great one. What the first one was Double Trouble?
Double Trouble. They're double IPA. And this is,
my favorite beer.
Hopefully, as everyone should know, is the Founders KBS.
Is this the one that's aged in the bourbon barrels?
This is.
It's going to be exciting, Jim.
And I just found out it's aged in Heavenly Hill bourbon barrels.
Unique kind of bourbon barrel?
What's that?
Is that something unique with bourbon barrels? Is that the upper echelon of bourbon barrels?
I guess, apparently. It is the first I had heard of them.
Is Heavenly Hill a location or
no? It's a
company.
It's a state of mind, Jim. Heavenly Hill is a state of mind.
Give me that cup. And the very, very unique thing about this beer is
really dark, that's for sure.
It is super dark, it is super strong, it is super lovely. And it is aged for at least 11 months.
Really?
In these bourbon barrels.
Have you tasted this yet, Jim?
I have not.
You're going to taste the bourbon at the very end if it works the way it worked last time.
And this is just a super dark, you can't even see through the other side of the glass, molasses colored.
Mm-hmm. It's rich.
It will make you rich.
You're getting a bouquet on the top of this.
Look at Jim throwing around beer terms now.
Uh-huh. A bouquet. Yeah,
a bouquet.
It's always the same beer term I've noticed.
Yeah.
It's bouquet. I only have
it's
one.
The only one he knows.
You know, sadly, my nose hasn't returned yet.
Oh.
My voice has returned, so.
So you're missing it.
I can get the barest whiff of bourbon on this.
Opus, this is one of the best beers I think I've ever tasted. I'm serious.
I'm in agreement.
Honest with you. This is just, I'm not a big fan of dark beers, but between the chocolate, coffee, and then the bourbon, I mean, it's so unique. I've just never tasted anything like it.
It just, the whole process of this beer is just, I mean, from start to finish is unique. Like, they take their breakfast stout, which is their normal beer they produce, I think yearly, year round, has some oatmeal and some coffee in it, and then they get these Heavenly Hill barrels, and they brew and they ferment the beer and they put it in these barrels, and then they take like a good 1,000 of these bourbon barrels that are very hard to obtain, because it's just they're in high demand, and it's hard to get a hold of these barrels.
And they're buying them, obviously, from someone that has fermented and distilled bourbon from those barrels, right?
Yes, yes,
they've already been used. So they're
and some of the barrels are anywhere from 10 to 15 to 25 years old.
Oh, boy.
And they take these 1,000 barrels after they brew and roll them into these abandoned gypsum mines under Grand Rapids. So there are these abandoned mines that there's basically 1,000 of these barrels sitting around every year, and they age them for like 11 months to a little longer because they have some that they age a little longer for.
Oh, a couple of homeless folks wander down to the abandoned gypsum mines. They're going to be there forever.
Gypsum mines.
Well, it is highly guarded, is what I've heard. It's like Fort Knox trying to get into this abandoned mines.
Interesting. Now, will he tell this story tomorrow night? I mean, if someone asks him about the process?
If he's drunk enough and you ask him, sure.
Right.
I'm sure he'll tell all sorts of stories.
Okay. Well, guys, I just can't say enough about this beer, this KBS beer from Founders. If you've never tasted it, you got to stop by the Thirsty Monk and give it a try. It's so unique. Jim, have you ever tasted anything like
that?
No,
I haven't. No.
Okay.
And, and just a little heads up to everyone listening out there, we're going to be tapping this in a downstairs Belgian bar.
Okay.
All the other Founders taps are going to be upstairs, but we're, because this is so special, because everyone kind of wants it.
So if you're in the know, you'll know,
you're in the know
to go
head,
downstairs.
Head straight downstairs.
Don't waste any time upstairs, go straight.
Get your KBS and then find the Founders.
Are we talking downtown location? Or?
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, downtown at the Pat Neville Cox.
Yeah. So the weather, it's warmer. Looking good. Time to open up the outdoors. And I'm sure you have people sitting out there.
I've seen it
this weekend. So that's a great addition to your downtown location because you can do a bunch of people watching there.
It's a beautiful place to people watch. And also at our south location, we have this, which you'll see, we have a giant patio. And I was watching the thunderstorms from the patio on Saturday. It was just absolutely beautiful because you just, I know it's in a parking lot, but all you see is mountains and sky from Gerber Village. It's a really weird location.
Well, the synergy is there right now in the microbrew, the beer community. Just it's out there. You guys are some of the leaders because I think you bring everybody together in a way that you're not competitive in that you carry all the local brews, you carry beers from overseas. I mean, and so that's what it's all about is strengthening that community. Because it looks like we got a good shot of winning Beer City USA again, by what I've been told.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, compared to last year, we're even stronger now.
Yeah, and we have all the surrounding states, Tennessee and South Carolina and Georgia, that like they're when they want beer, even though they have some really good pubs there, they think of Asheville.
I mean, there's so many partnerships going on right now. The Hop and Craggy are making beer ice cream all the time with their Annabelle and L, and I think some others. A new Altamont Brewery that opened up in West Asheville? I might not have that name.
Altamont, I thought it was North Asheville.
Okay. Somewhere another brewery has opened up.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Holland is expanded their tasting room. They now have a full-fledged tasting room.
Really, really cool tasting room. It's like a mix of, industrial warehouse, meets cool bar. It's a really neat place. You should check it out.
So a lot has happened in the last year, so I would think that would even improve our chances for winning re-election of Beer City USA.
Well, we did get Portland's attention, and they were very miffed that we beat them out last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be on their Blackberries and their iPads.
And, of course, the author of the poll, the guy that invented the Beer City poll, was in town a few weeks ago, and he had a grand old time.
Charlie Papazian had a great time, but he is, he's a beer purist. He doesn't really take sides.
So we didn't influence him that much by his visit.
Well, hopefully we did, but he's a straight man, so he's... He's not going to let that slant in their favor.
Who votes? The industry or the...
No, this is an open internet vote.
Across the board, then.
Yeah.
Well, folks, like we said before, Wednesday night is the big night with Opus and Blake and Leslie and 880 The Revolution. We'll have T-shirts, we'll have stickers, banners, everything. Talking about Ed Schultz. Bill Maher's coming up very soon. We're going to have two Bill Maher ticket stops I'm going to tell you about after the break. So ticket stops all over the place and a good time to be had by all Wednesday night. All the fun begins at 4 p.m. We'll probably be there a little bit after 5, and it's at the south location, the Gerber Village location of the Thirsty Monk. Well, Opus, as always, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for the education. And folks, you see how knowledgeable Opus is on beer. If you've got some questions for Opus, want to spend some time with it, him, he'll be there on Wednesday night, too. Forget Blake and Leslie. What about meeting Opus and sitting down with Opus a little bit? But we appreciate it, Opus.
Sure. I'll be working. I'll be pouring beer.
Okay. There you go. It's going to be even better. So you know where to find you. Behind the bar.
I'm stuck by the bar.
All right, folks. When we come back, we're going to open up the Progressive Hotline. 252-4348 is the number. Can you say qualify? Qualify someone for New Orleans? Wait and see. It's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution. Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. Well, many of you have been waiting for this moment, so let's qualify another listener to go to New Orleans. This is your chance to win a trip for two. All you have to be is the third caller, 252-4348, and you will qualify for this great trip. It's a four-day trip to New Orleans with airfare and hotel included. My co-host is going to design your entire itinerary. She knows everything to do in New Orleans. Now, for an additional chance to qualify, if you don't win today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, or even next week, you can always go to 880therevolution.com, and there's an additional chance to qualify online, as well as some more details about the trip. So good luck, everyone. We'll be doing this every single day on Local Edge Radio. You just have to listen for the little musical clips and then those special words that says, we're getting ready to qualify another person to go to the New Orleans trip. And I'm going to mention it every single hour, but Ed Schultz is coming to town on May the 3rd. He's going to be broadcasting his show at the Dinah Wortham Theater. You can stay tuned to Local Edge Radio for more details on where you can get your free tickets, but I can tell you right now, our first ticket stop has been confirmed. We are very, very pleased to announce Creperie Bouchon downtown will be our first ticket stop location. We appreciate Michelle and Von Seal's support for Ed Schultz's visit. You can find more at Creperie Bouchon. I'm trying to say that like a French person. It really doesn't work. Is he like that? Yeah. I'm from Beaver Dam. It kind of works. CreperieBouchon.com. And that's it. Lexington Avenue Square. Hey, we have a winner, by the way. We have a qualifying winner on the New Orleans trip. We appreciate everyone for playing. Be listening tomorrow. But the ticket stop for Ed Schultz, 11 a.m., folks. We want to, you know, be sure everyone knows that we have a limited amount of tickets for each ticket stop, but get there early this Friday. Line up. We'll get you two tickets, a pair of tickets to see Ed Schultz. You can have lunch right there. We're going to be eating there. Von Seal will there. Come meet the whole crew at 11 a.m. We'll be there from 11 to 1 this Friday. We'll be sticking on the website. Aaron's getting ready to tweet it. And I want to congratulate Tina Cook. She was our qualifying winner for the New Orleans trip. Keep playing every day, folks. It's worth it. If you're the ones that win, we might even let you take a camera with you and send us back some pictures to put on the 880 The Revolution website. Well, I held Opus back. Didn't let him leave the tiny progressive studio. That's because I think he has some more beer with him, so I told him to hang around. But Opus, during the first hour, we were talking about some of these fee increases that the city council is discussing, and it actually might affect your business if it goes forward, because what we're really talking about is raising the water rates for commercial customers.
Oh, joy.
It looks like, Opus, that you do not pay your fair share, and we're going to see to it that you do. But what they're doing really is they're breaking down the formula here, and I'll let you in on the formula, because it's out there, it's online, it's everywhere. But residential customers right now pay $3.77 for every cubic foot of water, or 7.5 gallons of water. Commercial customers who use more than 7,500 gallons a month pay $1.41. Now, naturally, they use more water, they need more water, so we've given them a break on their rates. But under this new proposal, all the water rates would go up on the commercial side, but no residential rates would go up. So the biggest users on the commercial side might see a rate increase of 20%.
That's going to affect some breweries, some local breweries
here. It is going to affect some breweries. Now, I don't know how the elected officials and the city council will break down tomorrow night as far as who supports it and who doesn't, because these are just a variety of ideas for fee increases. That's one of them. Here's another idea they've thrown out there they're going to discuss tomorrow night is fines for fire lane violations. Now it's $35 if you park in a fire lane, and they want to raise it to $50. Review of minor work to be done to historic buildings. Now, it doesn't cost anything for a review of a historic or minor work to be done to a historic building. They come in, take a review of it, be sure it's not going to hurt the overall structure. Now they're proposing to charge $25. And then ticket books for city buses, now they are $9 for an 11-ticket book, and what's proposed is $9 for a 10-ticket book. So they want to take one ticket away. So just little things here and there, and then hourly parking in the Civic Center garage, now it's 50 cents, and they're proposing that it be 75 cents, as well as the people that have those monthly parking passes in the Civic Center garage. It's going to go up $10 a month. That's the proposal out there. And one last thing, Opus, that you might not like, but charging $2 for the alcohol wristband inside any Civic Center show. That will raise $40,000.
And this is just to fill in the budget falls.
This is trying to be proactive of where we can gather some monies for the city.
This has nothing to do with like increased service or water shortage.
This does not, Opus. Okay. This all has to do with figuring out ways that we can raise a little bit of revenue during this belt tightening time, as they call it.
That's interesting. Ooh. You go to a concession at intermission, and you're paying $2 to buy a drink. I mean, you're paying $2, and then you're buying a drink on top of that. How much are you going to drink?
It just depends on who you are, Jim. I think there's people at Widespread Panic. If I look at the arrest docket for Widespread Panic, well, I don't know if those guys were drinking. Now that I look at the arrest docket.
The drink average there is probably $5-6, too.
Okay.
And that's a low average, I'm sure. It's they're pretty
much $2 charge on top of that.
Yeah.
All right, that's you know.
Another interesting sentence in this article is taking Mission Hospital and looking at their water usage. And, for example, Mission Hospital uses 188,000 gallons of water a day. 188,000 gallons of water a day to clean surgical instruments, give baths, and perform other tasks. So their monthly bill is around $53,000. Could you imagine getting a $53,000 water bill? Can I write a check for this, or do you want my debit card? The hospital's $633,000 yearly tab could rise to $759,000. This is probably an example of someone that would go through the process of a 20% increase since they use so much water.
Hospital, I might want to work with them. Work with them.
So, and then
yeah, I would think you'd want to be a little charitable for a hospital, especially Mission. They do such wonderful
work. With them.
And the reason I bring this up is because Opus just mentioned the breweries. So Mia Strauss from Green Man Brewery, they interviewed her, and because it says Green Man Brewery uses just enough water to fall into the largest commercial users category, said business manager Mia Strauss. If the increase wouldn't put us out of business, we'll have to pass on that cost to the consumer at some point. And I imagine that's going to be the case with all the breweries.
Yeah, I could see beer prices in Asheville just going up, and maybe imports being not as expensive as local beers.
Do we need to develop some sort of amendment and leave the breweries out of this? Obvious? We can't do anything to jeopardize the breweries. We're going for the Beer City USA title again.
I would encourage not wasting water to for a start, and that'll probably get some breweries a little proactive about wasting less water. Which is a good thing. So maybe a hike might be a good idea of that.
Well, I've been encouraging people to, go outside and really look around downtown, look around the city, the county, and figure out what's important to you and get involved with city council meetings, the public comment portion, county commissioner meetings. This is the time to do it, to voice your opinion. Because even as a downtown business owner yourself and being familiar with all the breweries, this is something that should be brought up tomorrow night. That with a water rate increase on some of these commercial customers, like the breweries, it's really going to hurt them. I mean, these guys are not funded by big multinational corporations or big banks. I mean, it's a week-by-week, month-by-month operation, and this could really affect their bottom line.
And I would also, you'd expect with a lot of rate increases like that you'd actually see some better service out of these things that you're putting the rate hikes on. Like, I know for instance that our Asheville Water, they don't have like a good online billing system. And if they're going to be raising their rates, they probably should look at their infrastructure and maybe maybe apply that extra money for that.
So, Elvis, I think you have to right now decide what's more important, hanging out with the founder of Founders Brewery.
Always.
Or going to the city council meeting tomorrow night and chiming in on public comment.
Can you show up intoxicated?
Well, as probably not the walk. First time at a city council meeting.
It's in walking distance, right?
Yeah, you can do both, Opus. Right. Do a little comment and go back down to the thirsty monk.
Or get your beer on and then go to the city council meeting.
There you go. Or take the founder of Founders with you to the city council meeting. But, folks, this is an important development to watch. They'll be discussing it tomorrow night at the city council meeting. I'm sure when we have the guys from the Mountain Express in here on Wednesday, David, Jeff, some of those other guys, Jake, always attend the city council meeting and tweet from it, so we'll get some more insight from them. Well, Opus, thanks for hanging out for an extra few minutes.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. And by the way, you cannot qualify for the New Orleans trip. I know you were eyeing it, the details, but sorry, my friend. You're on our show way too much to be categorized as a listener that's not on the show
way too much.
So, and I've told Matt Rawlings the same thing. So, both of you guys. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here on Local Edge Radio. But when we come back, we're going to open up the Progressive Hotline. So silly, all this government shutdown stuff. So silly. And what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's talk about it when we come back. It's Blake and Leslie, Local Edge Radio on 880 The Revolution. Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. I appreciate all the emails. Keep them coming. I know there's a lot on your mind. And all the calls. We've got David, loyal listener David, on the line. David, welcome back to Local Edge Radio.
How you do?
I'm doing great.
Calling in regard to the BMW plant in South Carolina.
Yeah. Give me some insight on that.
I was born in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
My parents got sick about the time Ernest Hollings, I think he was running for his last term, and they were fighting, trying to get that plant in Charleston. He was.
Right.
And the guy in the northwestern part of the state was trying to get it in Greenville. And also, y'all were trying to get it right here in Asheville.
That's right. We fought hard to get it in this area, and it didn't quite work out for us.
Well, what eventually happened, in order to get these plants, they had to extend the runway in Greenville, because we already had one in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And then the state, I think they give them a 7-year tax waiver. The state also trained the workers. Furthermore, that plant is an assembly plant. It has no foundry. So a lot of the parts of that machine is still made in Germany.
Oh, so they ship the parts over here and then they assemble the car.
Together now. Don't jump too quick.
I'm not jumping.
This is the problem with conservatives and liberals. We really need to sit down and think through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of the parts, you know, that comes from all over the world. Like years ago, they would have done the textiles here. You know, the seats and all that.
Right.
Well, that's not here anymore. And believe it or not, at one time, the auto industry was like 20% of our textiles. People don't realize how powerful the car industry is. But when we, and also, not too many years ago, they made a plant in Pennsylvania for Volkswagen. Well, they also run railroads, spurs, and all this stuff. The state does that. But they did all that in Pennsylvania for Volkswagen. And Volkswagen stayed there for 2 years, and they left. So when we do talk about giving these companies incentives, and I hear this from the left and the right, I'm not so sure I go along with all that. And as far as the unions go, you know, people have got to just try to be honest with themselves. You know, you have to have enough money to live, you know.
Right.
You've got to retire. You can't just let the company, whatever it is, get all the money. And also, these companies are no longer really American or German or whatever. Like Mercedes-Benz is not really a German company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stocks is owned by Saudis.
Well, let me ask you this, David. How can we get American companies, or any companies for that matter, to start believing in America again, American workers? And
well, the workers, no problem. We have the highest production rate of any country in the world.
I know, but our biggest problem is we won't accept 10 cents an hour.
That's the problem. If we don't set up, we used to have tariffs. I think I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
And we had duties and things of this nature. We had content laws. We had knockdown boxes. We had all kind of laws. But they slowly went away. Not just Republican or Democrat. They both did it. Keep in mind, NAFTA, Bill Clinton did NAFTA. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It seemed like a good thing in the beginning. Well, I tell you, David, we got to take a break for the end of the hour. Thanks so much for calling. I always appreciate your input. All right, folks, it's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie. We got a great third hour for you, and I want to hear from you on the Progressive Hotline. 252-4348 is the number. David, we appreciate your call. I'll see you after the break.
Midwestern boy on